Welcome to the Border Town Podcast, the Flood Series. On July 11th, 2023, a state of disaster was declared throughout Vermont as intense and widespread rainfall dropped up to 8 inches of water over a 38-hour period. This led to catastrophic flooding throughout the state and left the entire downtown of the capital city, Montpelier, underwater. The Border Town Flood Series will introduce you to some of the small businesses, community members, government officials, anyone in the community that is collectively experiencing this disaster. I've been down this road before. I don't go there anymore. Today on the podcast, we welcome Julia Watson, owner of the Capitol Grounds. Julia took over ownership of Capitol Grounds in January of 2020 from her father, Bob, who started the business with Bob Plant in 1998. Julia returned to Vermont with her husband and two kids, anxious to take over the family business. Since opening, she has endured a global pandemic and now a devastating flood, but she is committed to keeping the business going. Please enjoy my conversation with Julia Watson.
Introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your how you got into the coffee business.
Okay, my name is Julia Watson. My dad, Bob, started Capitol Grounds in 1998 here in Montpelier. They used to roast the coffee right on site at 45 State Street, but I think it was 2005 when we moved to our current location. He rebranded the coffee roasting aspect side of things in 2018 to 802 Coffee. And when we moved into our current location, they moved the roastery to East Montpelier. So they were roasting in East Montpelier, and then Capitol Grounds is, you know, doing its thing in Montpelier. When I took over, it was January 1st of 2020. And my husband and I had moved back. I moved back from Montana, and my husband's from Montana. We had two kids, and we moved back to take over the company. Mm-hmm. We bought a building in Barrie, and we moved the roasting facility, 802 Coffee, to the building in Barrie. And we bought a new roaster and pretty much just put a lot of work into the 802 Coffee side of things, because that's all of our wholesale, all of our accounts, and Capitol Grounds is, you know, this is our 25th year in business. Capitol Grounds name is, everybody knows Capitol Grounds. So after COVID, obviously we had just started really, really amping back up. And last year, 2022, we were up 40% from 2021. And this year we were aiming to be even higher than that. It's just been amping and amping up. So,
yeah. If you could just tell us about, I mean, every town's got a coffee shop, and we've had a few you could call the coffee shop, but Capitol Grounds is kind of at the center of town. Can you describe, before this flood hit, what was a typical day like at Capitol Grounds?
We thrive off of our regular customers. Like, we have our, I could tell you every drink, every sandwich that every person that walks in the door between 6:15 and 7 a.m. Like, that, our morning commuters, and then 8 o'clock is our busiest hour. 8, 9, we do breakfast sandwiches. We do coffee, espresso, smoothies, bagels, so many bagels in our lives. I felt like after COVID, we didn't have a slow day. It felt like we were always busy. We've renovated twice since 2020. The salon that was next door moved on, and so we ended up taking over their space. We keep adding little nooks and crannies to the cafe. It's always been the same sit down. Like, you come up, you order, you sit down. But I had a coffee shop that I worked at back in Montana that I really loved that had like a comfy chair. And I was like, I really want some comfy chairs in Capitol Grounds. So we added 4 of those in our last renovation. And we call like one nook and cranny the living room. And I don't know if you've been in there, but we took out the retail windows that had been up front, and we opened those up so now people can sit in the window and look out, which has been phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've been in there a lot. That's the place, you know, about 8 to 10 years in town here. And that's where I first went. I do a lot of work on my laptop, like many people do, and Capitol Grounds was the first place where I landed, and that's kind of defines the town a lot for me. I know a lot of politicians go there, you know, it's just a place to be. And you're also, I spoke with Alec over at Chill. I'm wondering, because you guys are across the street, so do you have a basement?
We do have a basement.
Okay.
It's a very big basement.
Okay. I was hoping you didn't, because you're kind of on that bridge over the North Branch. You're very close. And Alec was like, oh, we don't have a basement. So,
we do. Yeah. And, well, I don't know how, I mean, those buildings are right over the river. So they, obviously, they're built on the bridge. But, yeah, we have a basement. That was when we first started seeing the water come in.
So, anyway, the Capitol Grounds is a lovely spot, and it was really important when I first got to town. The coffee shop's the place that welcomed you to town. So if we could, talk a little bit about that day. What happened on the day of the flood? Were you around? And tell me about your experience for that.
Yeah, I was the 4 a.m. on that day. So I was there first thing, did the bake. Everything seemed totally normal. I drove down. It was raining. It's not like, I mean, we get flash flood warnings every day. It's always raining, it feels like. At 6:15, we opened per normal, and one of my longest time employees, who never calls out sick, never anything, she's been there for, it'll be 23 years this year, she called and she was like, my backyard is starting to flood. I'd really like it if I could stay home. And I was like, yeah, of course. So then we started looking at the weather and paying a little bit more attention. And we were so busy. It was so busy. It was like, people were like, oh, we're going to stock up and get to town and go to Capitol Grounds and then go food shopping or something. But we were so busy. And I went down in the basement about 7 and there was nothing. It was still dry. And I was like, cool, this is fine. We're going to be fine. Obviously it kept raining throughout the whole day. I got off the kitchen line at about 8 a.m. and I started to like pay attention. We have this business group chat with all the business owners in Montpelier Live, and everyone's starting to like tune into that because everyone's starting to, what is everyone's plan for today? Is anyone closing early? And I'm like just reading these things and starting to freak out a little bit, but it was still like, our basement's dry, everything's fine. And again, I had checked at about 7 a.m. So then we do a shift change at about 10:30, I think it was. So all of the new shift came in, and it was about that time that I went back down to the basement, and there was about 3 feet of water in it. And I was like, okay, guys, how is everyone feeling? Like, what should we do? That was like in 2.5 hours, it had gotten 3 feet up. So we had been really busy all day. I asked everyone what their thoughts were. Like, most people wanted to go home. They were like, let's just go home and wait it out. And so we closed early on that day, following the weather patterns, following different, again, the group chat. We got everything up in the cafe 2 feet. So we lifted like everything up that we possibly could. And I felt pretty good about it. And then I was like, we have stuff in the basement. My husband was at work. I called him and I was like, I think we should get some of your tools. We should get some of this stuff out of the basement, but some of these things are too heavy for me to carry up. So everyone of my employees went home at about 1:30. There was about 4 feet of water at this time in the basement. And so I went home. We had to pick up our kids early from school that day because they were like, it's potentially going to flood. So we went home, we got our waiters, we got our children, and we went back down to the cafe, and him and I just carried all of his tools and everything up that we could still get in. And I called the city. I called the fire department. I'm like, where's the sandbags? We should have sandbags, right? Mm. Like, where's the sandbags at? Nobody had anything. So I went and bought what they had left at Aubuchon, which was like 2. And I was like, this isn't going to do anything. And my husband is a zoning administrator in East Montpelier. So he called East Montpelier Town, and Guthrie's like, how many do you need? I'll be there in 15 minutes. So he met us at the garage in East Montpelier, which is where I live. Mm-hmm. And so he filled like 50 sandbags for us, like amazing. Mm-hmm. And we loaded up both of our trucks and we came back down, and actually ran into one of my employees who was coming down to check out the situation. I was like, come help me with these sandbags. And he's like, yeah. And so what I didn't realize at the time is that our back door sits lower than our front door. but our back door has like 4 steps up to get into it. And so what we didn't realize, obviously, at the time is like we should have been putting sandbags at the back door. And instead, we did 3 feet of sandbags in the front door. We also own a building on Langdon Street, so we had shared some of the sandbags with them. And I think the sandbags helped a little bit, but obviously not enough. Anyway, yeah. And then we got home at about 7 after getting everything out and making trips for sandbags. And I had a camera on the cafe, and we kind of just sat and waited. I couldn't sleep that night. We had a couple friends over for dinner, and because they were business owners too, and we were all just kind of like, what's going on? Like watching the group chat. Has anyone started seeing what, like, where's the water at? Yeah. And I had a tenant, and she was sending me pictures from her second story apartment.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is it. This is where it's at now. This is where it's at now. And then I look at the camera in the cafe, and I'm like, it's still bone dry in there, but I don't know where the water actually came in, but it was completely dry on our first level until about 6:15 a.m. on Tuesday, the 11th. And the water started coming from the back. And no water came in the front at all. Hmm. And I sat there and I tortured myself by watching these cameras.
So that was, the sandbags worked in the front?
Sandbags worked in the front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came in the back, and then how much came in? Did the 2 feet that you lifted, was that sufficient?
It was. Mm. It was sufficient. We were extremely lucky. We had, in some places, 9 inches, in some places, 1 foot, but it never went up further than that.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it came from the basement, like if the water came from the basement, or if it actually came from the back door, but I just all of a sudden see the water coming in from the back.
Oh.
I recorded all of it because I was like, I'm going to look back in this someday.
Yeah. So then what happened? Then you just kind of tortured yourself by watching it. You saw it, and mm-hmm. then you just kind of waited it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously I was home with my husband and children, and at like 8 a.m. I was like, I have to go down. I just want to see. And he's like, you're not going to be able to see anything. What? You're not going to be able to get to the cafe. What's the point? And I was like, I just need to see where the water level's at. And I think it peaked at 7-8 maybe. And so I had come down, and I was parked on East State Street up above the parking garage, and people were already getting in their kayaks and their paddle boards and all the things. And I was like, okay, wow. There's a lot of water.
Were you able to boat in or what?
So I went home, and then around 1 o'clock, so I like hung out, watched the camera some more, watch the water die down, because I wouldn't have been able to get in with water still in the cafe. Everything was warped and swollen. And I had a friend, I was like, I really want to paddleboard into the back of the cafe. You want to go with me? And she was like, sure. So it was like around 1 or 1:30, and the water had died down a lot, and it was a beautiful day by then, sunny. So I was like, okay, the water's disgusting. The whole town smelled like gasoline. Yeah. This guy was smoking a cigarette, and I was like, don't throw that in the water, or we may all blow up. Yeah. But it smelled really bad, and it was really gross. But I was like, I just need to see what the damage is. Yeah. And so we paddleboarded in, and yeah, at first we didn't think that we had that much damage, because I was like, oh, we got all of these things up. The compressor for our walk-in is in the basement, and so all of our food, and then we had 2 big freezers and 1 big refrigerator in the back, and they their compressors were all affected. So we lost a lot of food.
Yeah.
But we didn't think the damage was that bad until about 3 or 4 days later, when they were talking about the level of contamination that the water was.
Mm.
And then they're like, oh yeah, you got to rip up your floors. You got to do these things. Mm-hmm.
To think of that day as the day that all emotionally, right? Watching it, witnessing it. But then the work started, right? How far are we now? A month away?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what happened? How did the cleanup proceed?
So first we kind of, you know, I've never been through this. My husband's never been through this, and he's a contractor. So it's kind of like we were going by what other people were recommending or what everyone else was doing. and we knew that we needed to get everything dry as possible. So mm-hmm. we got as many people we knew with tools down, and we started taking out the sheetrock, taking off all the baseboards and doing that. But we had tile flooring and then a hardwood floor. And I felt like I had so much adrenaline the first 3 days. I couldn't even tell you what I was doing those first 3 days. It was just like, you do this and you do this. And people were asking what they could do. And it was just like, move this food, or like, this needs to go in the compost, or this needs to just trying to like keep figure out what we had, what worked, what wasn't working, and where we were at. But as soon as they said that the tile floor needed to come up, it was like, okay, now we need to not just throw stuff away, but we need to move everything. We had to take up all of our cabinets that we just renovated in March. So that's when it started to get kind of overwhelming.
Yeah. And who was doing this work? I know there was a massive influx of volunteers, employees, volunteers. How did that sort out?
Yep, employees, parents, just friends. People were just coming in the door. What do you need?
Yeah.
We had like 4 people muck out our entire basement in those first 4 days and pressure wash the whole thing. And my landlord is also my insurance agent, and I couldn't get a hold of him. And he was also hit pretty hard, so I was really frustrated. I felt like the first week I was like, I need answers on like what my next steps are, and I can't get a hold of like the person who happens to be like 3 people that I need to talk to right now. Like, is he hiring a company to come in and do this? Are we, you know? Mm. And I felt like we were making really, really good progress ripping up floors and taking down sheetrock and getting things dried out, but we didn't have the commercial equipment that most people, like Puroclean was already in here, and there was obviously a ton of people around town who were working on buildings, and I was like, where's our people?
Yeah.
But then they ended up coming.
And so Capitol Grounds will be reopening.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So now where are you at time-wise? And I know that there was a big meeting this past weekend from a town perspective. What do you think about reopening, rebuilding? What are your thoughts now? Do you feel confident? Do you feel confused? Where are you at now moving forward?
I think it's unfair that the city's asking everybody to move up all their electrical panels and all their things when we are already millions of dollars in the hole. I mean, I'm easily out hundreds of thousands of revenue for this year. And where is that money coming from? I rent the space, so I know it's on my landlord, but where is it for him too? You know, we do have a serious issue, and I don't know the answer. We built a city where 3 rivers come together. Like, shame on us, right?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful town, and the rivers are what make a lot of it. It's really sad to see them so dirty right now.
Yeah.
And everything's so dirty. Mm. But I don't know what the answer is. I doubt the North Branch would ever get dredged. Like, I don't know how you would fix that. But we are going to reopen. We are going to rebuild with flood friendly materials.
Yeah.
Or more flood friendly, I should say.
Yeah.
And it's not just like preparing for when it might flood. It like, oh, it might flood again in 10 years or 20 years, but it's like, no, it could start happening sooner and sooner. We haven't even hit hurricane season yet. It could happen this year.
So there are some requirements that you're hearing about, or is that just speculative still?
Any electrical panels that are in the basement have to be moved up. They're trying to get boilers moved up too, but a lot of these old boilers are steam systems, and they have to be down so that everything can circulate.
Yeah.
I understand what they're trying to do by like, hey, this is like what will help you guys next time, but it shouldn't be on all the business owners to like, how can we save this town? So...
And so your decision to move, to open up, move forward, is that, was that a tough one to come to, or was that never a doubt?
It was never a doubt. And I think that's mainly based on I'm still just getting started myself as the business owner. Like, I know Capo Grounds has been here for a long time, but I've only owned it since 2020. So yeah. When we purchased Capo Grounds, again, we've renovated twice. We've moved the roasting operation. Like, I've put a lot of time and sweat and money and tears into this place already in the last 3 years.
Well, how can people help you? Is it easy to answer that question, or do you realize what you need? How can people support you?
I felt like the first couple of days I knew what I needed, and now there's like this fine line of what the landlord is doing, and we're kind of waiting on his timeline. But I will need painters and just contractors, like people who are even willing to like donate some of their time. That's a really big expense, and building is expensive.
Yeah.
And who out there has skills and tools that are willing to come and help out, not just me, but I know that's happening with a lot of the business owners. So
I know that it was difficult to get contractors prior to this.
Yeah.
But so is that on you, or is that more on your landlord now trying to get the physical rebuild back?
Once he gets the walls and the floors done, it's basically on us.
Yeah.
So we're all of our cabinets, moving all of our equipment back in, finishing, priming, painting.
Right.
Just cleaning, really.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly a challenge for the town, right? Mm-hmm. And I do believe, and I hope you know, that people that aren't directly affected, that live a little higher and that are your customers, do want to help. So if there's ways they can, right? It was easy to say, okay, let's start mucking it out. But it might be harder to get people once down the road, but if there's ways for volunteers or you know, hope you're not hesitant to reach out and ask.
Yeah. And 802coffee.com, like, we're still selling our coffee there. We just got shirts, our flood shirts, Unsinkable, 25 years strong.
Nice. Okay. They're
showing up today. So that stuff's all available at 802coffee.com.
So people can help by going and purchasing things online.
Yeah. Yep. And we're hoping, we have a cafe front in Barrie, and we're hoping that's attached to the roastery. So we're hoping to reopen that within the next 2 weeks.
And how about donation? I know Montpelier Alive is a place to donate, or one place to donate. Are there donations? Can people make donations to help?
Yeah. Capo Grounds did not open a GoFundMe, but I still get donation checks in the mail every day.
Yeah.
People are just, 25, 50, just make it out to Capo Grounds, write donations. And we're at the Merchants Market every Saturday through the month of August, off of East State Street. So we've been serving up coffee, cold brew.
Is that up by the college?
Yep. So yeah. Farmers Market is like right next to the college. Yep. And then they've been doing the Merchants Market for anyone affected. And it's been awesome. Yeah. And just good to see people's faces. And that's been fun.
Well, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This has been great. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking the time and hang in there.
Yeah.
Right on.
Cool.
Okay.
I've been down that road before. I don't go there anymore.
Thanks to Julia Watson for taking the time to tell her story, and thank you for listening. You can help Capital Grounds with direct donations and by purchasing products online. Please visit them at capitalgrounds.com. Thanks to Ward Joyce for supporting this podcast. Visit him online at wardjoycedesign.com. To learn more about Bordertown, visit bordertownonline.com.